I'd say with all that laughter and all the joy and the singing and the greeting, we're well prepared for meditation. And it's a joy to be here with you in your spiritual community and to join with you in meditation. If you're new here today, just know that meditation is our way, our practice here of tuning in and listening to that which we call God. And there are many ways to do that, more than we could possibly fathom. And today, the way that we each embrace this experience is the way that we could say we're showing up for our divine appointment. All right? If you're ready to do so, close your eyes or find a prayerful or a focus point that allows you to just stay attentive to the truth that there is a presence and a power that we call God that is right here, right now, and is everywhere. And all has been prepared. It's already prepared for us to show up. Just to show up. We do this sometimes with words that allow us to guide the monkey mind into just its part. We just give this monkey mind a little something to focus itself, to turn the channel. Father, Mother, God, oh, beloved one, teacher, universal presence, O thou of many names and thou of no name, we are here together. We are willing to be more receptive, more attentive. And with every breath, we're able to center ourselves in a conscious awareness of your love. That great, omnipresent, non-local, local love. It's right here and it's everywhere. And as the body adjusts to letting go of its typical pattern, whether one coughs or feels fidgety, together we know that this love is supporting us in wisdom to guide the physical body temple, to just gently courage and to nurture the willingness. Willingness. And in this willingness, we discover that love expresses as acceptance of the humanness. Acceptance of the human condition. So we, like Myrtle Fillmore years and years and years ago, we sit with ourselves. We just practice being with ourselves. Opening the way for love to express. That every hurdle is moved aside and melted away. Every thought about later, any clinging to what was. Knowing that there is this great light, this light of love, that reveals in this now moment the ideal, impeccable circumstance of me, that light may be more obvious. So in the quiet and in the stillness, together as a spiritual community, a field of conscious attention to love, we become quieter, and in the stillness we are attentive, knowing that God is revealing the I am. I am thankful, grateful for the light that is in me, in us. Thank you, dear friend. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thank you, beloved one. Thank you, friend, for this light that reveals wholeness, this light that allows sight, seeing, this light that allows a discernment, a knowing, that even the dark is as light to thee, O beloved one. And in this wholeness, I know with my brothers, my sisters, that there is a wholeness for each and every one. It already exists. All those that have reached to this ministry for prayer, all those that are seeking, that wholeness assures that all that is required is provided. And for those that are hungry and those that are suffering and those that are imprisoned. Together, we know that wholeness assures that wisdom and love are guiding each and every one of us in the ways that can be the provision for all those that are seeking, all those that are hungry, all those that are impoverished, imprisoned. And for the water, the earth, the air, and all creatures, we give thanks that the light that reveals wholeness, oneness, the integration of all, that this light is wisdom, is guiding us and directing us even now with the love and the compassion, the understanding, the imagination, the judgment, wise judgment to make choices. All that we require, already provided. And for this, we give thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you. And in the ancient, ancient language of Jesus, we seal these awarenesses. We create the container for them, the consciousness that we bring forward into this day and every day. And we do this with a word, Amen, Amen. And in this ancient language of Jesus, it means we plant this vision in the earth that it may grow. And together, will you affirm this word with me, Amen. Together, Amen. And so it is. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. That's just a delight and a divine appointment to be here. I was telling Cindy this morning that each year I travel to Arlington, Washington to see my mom, who was born there, lives there. And this year I was really slow about making the hotel reservations, and next weekend is the big fly-in. You know, 50,000 people coming to Arlington, Washington, so they only have three hotels. I don't know what they do with 50,000 people. Maybe most of them are stuck in that big gridlock on I-5. I don't know, but anyway. Or they're flying in because they don't want to be in the gridlock. Anyway, so I found a hotel that had a room right here in Everett, and I thought, oh, I ought to just get a hold of this Unity Center over here, because it was my pleasure to be here with you about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. It was right before the hiring of a new minister at that time, and my mom was able to attend the service then, not so today. Send her lots of love and light, please. And so here we are, and it's in the last couple of years, since I've been so involved in Unity ministering with congregations, which it's been about 30 years now. So I went into seminary when I was in my 20s. And my husband Matthew and I were very much a part of this region years ago. We started a ministry in Oregon. Used to be up at the Crystal Mountain retreats. Anybody ever go to those big retreats on Crystal Mountain? Yeah, we were staff there a lot. Up on the stage with Matthew Fox. It was fun, a lot of fun. And we've been in Michigan for 14 years now. And for the last couple of years, I've decided I'm a self-proclaimed emissary for the next evolution of Unity. So I get to go and speak and be with and share with congregations all over the place, including Canada. And it's come to my attention that very few of us in Unity are meditating at all. So if we want to go to the basics of Unity, it's direct connection with God. That's what New Thought and Transcendentalism was really doing over here on the North American continent, is they were uplifting this notion, this concept, this idea that we're one with God, and that you do not have to go through somebody that's acting as an intermediary. Now, that was huge, and certainly people were, you know, not treated well for those ideas. They were very Eastern. In fact, Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, in some of her writings said that actually probably Unity is closer in some of its ideas about spirituality to Hinduism. But at that time, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they had little access to information. Now we have great access. But Unity has a distinct role, as does New Thought, in the spiritual evolution that's happening on the planet. And it doesn't just, in my view, include us, you know? That we're so woven into all of creation that all of creation might be understood as evolving. How many of you watch those animal programs? I'm telling you, those creatures, they are moving along so fast, and what it means to be loving, they're putting some of us humans to shame. Right? Am I right? There you go. So that's what I mean by evolution, that we are expanding our consciousness and our awareness, and that we are here, and we always have purpose, and that purpose is simply understood as living, but it's more than just living, and you know that. If you've been on the planet long enough, you know that it's more than just eating and drinking and going to sleep. And if you've worked long enough, you know that it's more than just getting money. Okay? You do. There's some studies that came out some time ago. Actually, this man was in the lineage of Gurdjieff, and he was doing these rat experiments, you know, going through the mazes. And he began to notice something that I thought was so fascinating. I just heard about it on retreat last weekend. And he called it maze brightness. How many of you have heard of that? Okay, so my understanding of this, and I've been online trying to get more information about it, is basically this, that some rats going through all those mazes to get the cheese start figuring out that that's all they're doing there, is that they're not getting out of the maze. They're going to get a little bit of cheese, and then they're going to have to go through the maze again. And they're not interested in going for the cheese anymore. And so they realize that there's this thing called maze brightness, which is like the light goes on, right? I'm still going to be stuck in these four walls. Why should I go through all these electric shock therapies just to get a piece of cheese? Who's interested in cheese anymore? And we might relate to that a little bit. You can always tell the people that really relate to it because they're living on the streets. They could care less about a house anymore. And that's not all the people that are living on the streets. That's a very small minority of people that are living on the streets. So let me qualify that a bit, because my mom actually worked on the streets in Portland as a VISTA volunteer. And so I became very aware of the work that she was doing and was able to support that work. There's very few people that are mystics that are living out there on the streets. Okay. So we might relate to the whole thing there. But the beauty of this information that started coming out of these experiments is maze brightness, and that for the rats that somehow shifted into this maze brightness, it didn't really matter what maze they were in after that, whether it was one that was imposed upon them or one that they just encountered. The understanding of what's, we could say in our human way, what's most valuable became present in them no matter where they went. So the reason I share this with you is because 4th of July is coming up. You know that. And yesterday was Canada Day, and I got to meet a couple of Canadians at the hotel, the breakfast area, and they're celebrating 150 years, you know, independence from Great Britain. And so here we are, and we're celebrating also on the 4th, and independence, and all good things, and hide your animals, and, you know, so we just do our versions, right? But life and living is so much more than going after the cheese or going after the dollar or going after the house, although those things are helpful to us. But it's so much more than that. And there are times in life, and often we think of them as crisis or chaos, that seem to shift us into an awareness that life is so much more than what we've been making out of it. It's so much more. And when I think about the individuals that were crafting the Declaration of Independence, that of course is attributed to July 4th, 1776, that Declaration of Independence, and what were they after really? And often we'll say freedom, you know, it's like a certain kind of freedom. Freedom from oppression, freedom from tax, freedom for religious practices. There are all kinds of freedoms that were so important to those people at that time. But ask yourself for a moment, when did that drive, that desire for independence start happening for those people? Think about that. Was it July 4th? No, it wasn't. In fact, my young son that just graduated from high school said, "Oh, Mom, they were on their own for about 100 years. They weren't bothered at all by King George. It was just when he finally wanted to tax them so much, then they became a little bit irritated because they've been doing life on their own for about 100 years without much intervention or oppression." So for 100 years, at least, people are on this continent, and they're making their life, and they're making their churches, and they're making their way. Because of that drive that would cause them to get on boats and have family members die on boats and come all the way over to this new land. That drive for freedom. And that's what I want us to explore a little bit today. The daily word on the day I was born, the affirmation was free with the freedom of spirit. I am free with the freedom of spirit. Now, I tried to look that up on the computer because I left my Bible at home. I didn't bring it in the suitcase. I cannot find it on any of those little sites where you could look up Bible quotes. So maybe it was just one of the affirmations they came up with. I always thought it was a Bible quote. But here is the quote that actually came with that particular daily word. It comes from Galatians. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Whew, I love that quote. So this whole idea of who we are spiritually, whether that is defined as Christ and in unity, if you're new here today, you know, 100-something years of really exploring many world religions, but the Fillmores, the co-founders of Unity, decided there was something in these teachings by this person named Jesus that was unique, that stood out. And the Fillmores were very eclectic, just as I am, just as probably most of you are. Isn't it a great age? We can be so eclectic. We can access all kinds of spiritual teachings, and we can watch the evolution of consciousness. We can watch the expansion of consciousness. We can feel it. We can see it. We can go listen to cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, who can talk about epigenetics. He can talk about how consciousness and the mind has an influence on our DNA, that we can unwind DNA. Yeah, we ought to be really excited about that, except for we are often feeling like we are caught in some kind of a maze. Like, how do you do that, Bruce Lipton? I want to know. And day by day, moment by moment, the Fillmore saw something which was direct access to that which we call God. If you're in the 12-step program, it's a power greater than yourself. It's a power greater than yourself. And you got to do the work that allows us to wake up to have that maze brightness and say, man, I am superimposing a belief system on my life. I am caught in generations of Kool-Aid telling me how to parent. That's one example. And that for the Fillmores to realize that for this Christ is to teach us about freedom. You see, freedom exists whether a person's in prison. Freedom's still there. Gandhi taught us that. He used his prison address as his home address. And then we had the great disruptors like Martin Luther King Jr., you know, who come along and just hand to hand. But he had the freedom within him to stop at that bridge, go into Selma, get down on his knees, and turn around and go back. Did you know that? There was more than one march on Selma. And that march, that intrigues me. The people that are so free that they can stop like that rat did for that person doing those experiments, I'm not going for the cheese anymore. You see, the way we superimpose upon ourselves, even in unity, these are the five spiritual principles of unity. I don't agree with that. And that's why I say I'm an emissary for the next evolution. This is how you do the 12 powers. You do this on this month, and you use this color. You know, those were people in the youth education program. I was one of them. They came up with that. Charles talked about the 12 disciples and the 12 spiritual powers, but he would be just irate, and he was known at picnics. He was a vegetarian. He was known for going, if somebody had a hot dog, he nailed one to a tree. He was so appalled that somebody had a hot dog at one of these unity picnics. So can you imagine him? I mean, it just delights me to no end to think about him, how he would be jumping up and down if he knew that we were saying, oh, you can only study love in February. But the thing is that it's congregations that are holding on to that while we go through this evolution in unity. Okay? And because we have we are as a faith tradition, we're going through changes. We better be going through changes. But I encourage you as congregations that are in the process of bringing candidates and thinking about who you might invite to be your spiritual leader, boy, I would really ask some questions about their studies of unity. Find out. Find out how deep they've gone. Find out how they're applying it in their life. Because that's what we want in our unity centers, is we want a depth of consciousness and a breadth of consciousness that we will go out and we will drop our perceptions of what it means to be spiritual, and that we will be communities that are vibrant and that are independent. We love our independence. I'm a unity minister because nobody told me how I had to believe. That's why I want to be a unity minister all those years ago. So we love our independence. We love that freedom. So I want to just get to the practical side of things, because I think we were singing and we were doing a lot, you know, like I... Oh, good. That's part of the maze over here, right? Okay, good. All right. I'm well trained, you know. Some guy, you know, like if you don't get off the stage, the penis will stand up. So thank you. I'll just keep going. Okay, Twilight Zone, good. All right. Well, I just love stories like the ones I just shared with you about Martin Luther King Jr. getting down on his knees. I love stories that reveal how spirituality shows up, how freedom shows up in people's lives. You know, because unity is really a way of life. It's practices. It's prayer and meditation. It's being conscious of what we're doing with our thinking. And you know, we got lumped in with kind of the positive movement that Norman Vincent Peale brought to the forefront and different ones. And yeah, we're positive too. But we're more than that. We're unity, as in the lowercase u. It's wholeness. So it's wholeness. So Reverend Jim Rosemary, longtime unity minister, probably one of the best, he has many books, but one of his books called The Gathering is just a step-by-step of how we can be with prayer and meditation and accept our humanness. And that's what I love about him. So our humanness is this perfect... in meditation recently, I was sitting in my meditation chair and I was looking out the window, and the sun rising over there doesn't really rise, the earth's turning. But anyway, I'm a teacher, can you tell? The light is becoming more obvious, and at different times of the year, of course, it comes onto the leaves and the trees in different places, and it lights them up. Day by day, it lights them up differently. And I heard these words, be the light. I've heard that before. Be the circumstance for the light. Like, how powerful to accept ourselves as a circumstance for the light to be revealed, but not without accepting ourselves, not without accepting certain facets of the human condition, without accepting the fact that maybe we're challenged by certain things. If Martin Luther King Jr. had not accepted the fact that he was challenged on that bridge when he was praying, he would have kept going and the slaughter would have been huge. And he was not going to take those people to slaughter. Jesus, there's this little story about Jesus with a woman who's accused of adultery. And he comes upon all these people with stones, because it was the custom to stone people that they perceived as breaking the law. And in Judaism, there are many laws. Okay, so he comes upon them, and I think one of the most poignant parts of that little story is he kneels down. So try to imagine, you know, you're walking down the street, people are worked up, they're charged, they've got stones, they're yelling, you're next to a big, huge city. Maybe you see that more than I see that out in my rural area, but I see it as a teacher. I see kids all worked up. I see them with rocks and sticks. It's a little tricky to get them to amp down, right? So the beauty of this story is Jesus kneels. In my mind, he just kneels. That's where we start. That's the power of where we start. Myrtle Fillmore, early, you know, she's told she's only got so many months to live, and she has this May's brightness eclair, you know, like, oh yeah, all these other family members have been dying of tuberculosis, and yeah, lots of people all across the United States are dying of tuberculosis, but May's brightness occurs, and she gets this, I'm a child of God, God's not sick. Like something changes, see? But not when we're in denial, not when we're fighting, not when we're running, not when we're gunning, not when we're doing all these things to buffer acceptance. Acceptance is a huge part of the spiritual journey. For this congregation, you know, being able to show up at the meetings that you're going to be showing up for, to be able to accept the many voices, the diverse voices, and then to practice the spiritual principles. And probably the one spiritual principle that I would hold up right now is the principle of oneness. What does that mean? As a country, this is difficult. We're in a stew right now trying to figure out that one. How can we be this diverse? How can we be this independent, rugged individualism? Remember Herbert Hoover? Rugged individualism. We have no business but business. That's what we're about, we American people. Well, that's been a long time ago now. So remember May's brightness. We're not necessarily after the business. We're not necessarily after the cheese anymore. But what are we? Who are we, right? So in closing, we have this teaching in Unity about that these spiritual faculties that are ours, you know, and these spiritual faculties that work through us, the Christ identity, the God essence, it's always working through us. And what will allow us to be the circumstance where the light is revealed is to really engage each other, to seek each other out, to listen to each other, to care about each other, to have so much compassion about each other. Jesus didn't get into the fight that was happening around that woman that was going to be stoned. He got down on his knees. What will it take for us to practice spiritual humility with each other? To really say, I don't have all the answers. Oh, but this is my sense. You know, maybe we could do this together. I sat on the plane for 4 hours with a Pentecostal minister. I want you to know he and I had the best conversation. And at the airport, I sat next to a woman and talked to her. And she is one of those people out there. She believes in a conspiracy theory that started at the Tower of Babel, a world conspiracy that started at the Tower of Babel. We had the best conversation. And I talked to her about all the amazing things that are happening in Detroit and how people are working together. Well, the principle of oneness. We are free with the freedom of spirit when we practice that principle of oneness. And that when I sit in meditation, that I got to show up and listen to me. And I've been meditating for a long time. And so, and it's still about practicing oneness with me. Ram Dass says, if you think you're enlightened, go visit your family. So I'm visiting my mom right now, so you know wow, God do the work, right? Practice oneness, unwind that DNA. It's a beautiful life. Yeah, it's great to be here with you. I have every bit of encouragement for all of us. And I will be in prayer with you. I will see you at a new place in the history of this ministry. So some of you have been here a long time, but this is the now. No matter what you've been through before, this is the now. This is where God's working, in the now. And that's what God's bringing out, is that evolved consciousness to meet in the now. Acceptance. spiritual practice of oneness and live the freedom that's already there. That's ours to do, isn't it? And if you're not in the 12-step program, gee, show up for that meeting tomorrow, because they have a beautiful story about drop the rock. Can I share this last story? Okay, so here's the story. You're going on a journey, right? There's a story about a person going on a journey. And everybody gets down to the dock, and they're getting on the boat, and this one person is like, I don't know. Boat takes off. Everybody's like, come on, jump in. You can get here. Okay, jumps right in, swimming. It's drowning, heads back to the dock, standing there. Oh, they're yelling at him, come on, drop the rock. He realizes he's holding the rock, or she's holding the rock, holding on to stuff. And so today, my assignment for all of us is go out and find a rock. Because the way we are in the now is not holding on to old stuff. We got to work the programs that allow us to drop our rocks, right? And to go forward in new, fresh ways with God, because God's in the now. Thank you.